part of being really good at this sport is you have to be competitive as fuck.
What does a typical day of training look like for you, and what does it take to be a games level athlete?
Training is not always going to feel fun.
It was a moment I was on the paddleboard, and I was beside Emily Bridgers, Annie Thor's daughter, and Lindsay Valenzuela. And I remember thinking, wow, to be beside them in a CrossFit Games event, it was hard to believe.
Part of what makes our story so unique is like there's just not a couple out there, at least not in CrossFit, that deals with this issue at this level. Have you ever seen a movie called Unbreakable? I'm Mr. Glass.
Whoever are charged by a moose, the best thing to do is find a tree.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have not one, but two dope guests, and they're joining me from, are you guys in Canada?
Yeah, we're in Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah, they're in Canada. Joining me all the way from Canada. One of them has a pretty impressive background with Olympic lifting, nationals appearance, American Open appearances, and the other one was actually part of the Canadian National Development Team for Alpine ski racing and also went to college in Alaska. We'll talk about that. Both of them have been to CrossFit Regionals. Both of them have also been to the CrossFit Games. And I brought them on for them to tell you their story and show you just how much goes into being an athlete or someone at this level of competition. So without further ado, my friends, welcome to the show, Meredith Root and Alex Parker. Thanks guys for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thanks, sir.
So I'm sorry, just jump right in. I can talk a lot. Thank you guys both. Meredith, I'm going to ask you first, because people that listen to the show, they know how I do this. I don't like to give backgrounds besides that little intro. I like to have the guests tell us their story. So how about you give us a little background about you, and then Alex, you can hop on right after. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
So I'm Meredith. I grew up, I'm from the U.S. I live in Canada now, but I grew up in North Carolina on the East Coast. I lived in Greensboro and then moved to Raleigh when I went to college. Played lots of sports growing up, but mostly was a full-time swimmer and part-time soccer player. So swimming was kind of my sport. Did that until college. My swimming career peaked when I was like 14 because I stopped rowing when I was 14. Like, I was a really big 13, 14-year-old.
Like, the same way, dude. I was the same way.
Yeah, so, like,
I was huge.
Man, they were like, this girl, she's like, that was a big swimming prospect. And then I stopped getting taller, and then everybody else kept getting taller. And they're like, okay, well.
Just kidding.
So, but I did okay for my size. I swam a little bit in college. I went to a big Division I school, so I wasn't good enough to swim there. But I swam, like, club. And then I was an engineering student, so I just kind of ran out of time for, like, anything other than school. So kind of stopped doing anything, like, competitively for a couple years. When I graduated, I got into some, like, distance running and triathlons a little bit. But, again, like, pretty recreationally and only because I kind of had the background for it.
Yeah, totally.
And then I found CrossFit in 2012 and just like started with class workouts, like, you know, pretty beginner with everything. I did not come in and like I was not a stud athlete coming into a CrossFit gym. That's not my story. But just kind of worked, you know, worked in the class workouts, worked a little bit on Olympic lifting and gymnastics and just really was into the movement aspect of it. And just kind of started to get better and better. Like my progress was fairly linear. I got involved in Olympic weightlifting, like you mentioned, and competed in that kind of full time for about a year and a half to 2 years. So made a couple of appearances at the American Open and Nationals, competed in two different weight classes.
Yeah, that's pretty. So two different weight classes. You were just like, nah, I want to do something else. Like, what? How did that happen?
Well, when I started, competing, I was going to be more competitive as a 53 kilo, which.
Hey, wait a minute. Translation. We're in America now.
Okay, so 53 kilo is 115.6 pounds. So
okay,
pretty small. At the time, wow. I was weighing about like 123, 124. So I would cut down to that weight class.
Wow.
Yeah, not super fun.
Wow. Okay.
So that was my my first two American Open and first Nationals appearance was as a 53 kilo.
Wow.
And then just kind of got tired of weight cutting. So I started competing as a really light 58, which is 129 pounds or so.
Okay.
So shifted to that weight class and had a lot more success at that weight class, which kind of makes
that's sense awesome. Stop it, yeah.
Because you're not having to starve yourself right before meet.
Geez.
So yeah, it was kind of cool. Like I was ranked sixth in the country as a 58 for about six that's months.
Incredible.
And I was like 8 or 9 as a 53, which isn't bad for somebody that like has just started out.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So did that up until 2015 and then had kind of shifted my focus back to CrossFit at that point. Qualified for regionals that year.
How long was that after you started doing CrossFit that you qualified for regionals?
Like 2 years and some change.
Wow. Yep. Fast track. Love it. Not messing around here.
Yeah.
Love it.
So that was, I actually was not expecting to qualify as an individual in 2015. Like the plan was to go team. So I declined my individual invitation that year and went team, which was ended up being kind of a mistake, but that's okay.
Live and learn.
Yeah, that's all right. And then, like I said, qualified again in 2016, which is also when I quit my full-time job as an engineer. So I worked as an engineer for 6 years after I graduated school, which was great. It just started to not like fit my lifestyle very well. So decided to let that go in 2016 and focus more on, at the time my focus was like, I'm going to be a full-time CrossFitter because I didn't really know what it meant.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people didn't really know what it meant also.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really blown up, but.
So full-time CrossFitter for me meant I was going to manage a gym and like, you know, work out 3 or 4 times a day, which I did. And it worked pretty well. So qualified for regionals that year, qualified again in 2017, had to withdraw from regionals that year because of an injury and then qualified again this year.
Oh, so basically you haven't really done that much. Got it.
Yeah.
So part of the reason that I don't read people's bios is because it just makes me feel bad about myself. And then I sit and listen and I'm like, oh, still feel bad about myself. So, I mean, this is an awesome. I want to come back actually. I'm going to let Alex give her story, but I actually want to come back to the engineering thing because that's really freaking cool too. Yeah. So hold that thought.
Okay.
Wait, did you tell the people about this year?
Oh, this year. Yeah, this year at regionals went pretty well. And, you know, not a like traditional path to the CrossFit Games, but I did end up making it to the CrossFit Games, which was awesome. That was a great experience. Like Alex will probably tell you the same year that she went.
This is part of the reason I brought you guys on. I'm speaking of CrossFit Games athletes. Yeah. This is like, it's a pretty big deal. So Alex.
Yeah.
We know that you are amazing at coming up with these really clever monikers for yourself. And putting them on the whiteboard, but we'll talk about that later. Why don't you give the listeners a little background about all the cool stuff you do?
Okay, so basically, growing up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, I was always completely obsessed with sports. Like, every sport against whoever. I was very competitive at a very young age. I had a younger sister and everything was a competition. A lot of the times, like for soccer teams, I would end up on the boys team. And then my dad and my mom just basically exposed me to every sport on the face of the earth and kind of narrowed down on golf and alpine ski racing.
How those seem, are they at all related?
They are, and they work together well because both of these sports my parents wanted me to get into. They weren't pushy about it, but they wanted to expose both me and my sister to them because they thought that they would be good family activities, which they were not. My sister was not a fan of golf and was basically bribed by food and drinks that you could get at the golf course. And then both of those sports became my sister and I skiing or golfing, competing, and my parents watching on the sidelines and driving us around. So they weren't really family activities, I guess, to a certain extent.
But you're all there.
Yeah, they worked well together because golf was a summer thing, and then skiing was a winter thing. And they're both very similar in that they're individual sports and require a lot of the same mental training, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Anyways, sure. I ended up, when I was 18, I kind of had to make the decision of whether or not I wanted to give up golf to pursue skiing at a higher level, which meant that you would be traveling in the summer to certain glaciers and Europe and things like that, just to kind of fill out the season, push it a little longer. So I quit golf and decided to go on this national development team. I was on the Alberta ski team. I was on the national team for 1 year. And even though I was invited back for a following year, I decided not to do that because I was offered a bunch of athletic scholarships and wanted to get my degree.
Okay.
My sister ended up taking the golfing route and was on a golf.
Oh.
So we kind of went different ways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
And then after 4 years on the ski team up in Alaska, I was over skiing at that point. It's a kind of a tough area to train in. It's got weird weather patterns. You're on the ocean and then in the mountains. So the skiing isn't good. The light isn't great because you don't really get much.
Because it's Alaska.
Yeah.
Because it's Alaska.
And it's really cold.
Like, you went to school in Alaska. I read your bio and I was like, what?
Yeah,
that's like a thing.
To have like the mooses would come out and they would be on the campus.
What
is your life? And you have to be careful because they would charge at you.
Yeah, like I was going to say, they'll kill you. That's like a big humongous animal. Yeah. What?
But I was never charged by a moose, which is
good. Oh, that's good. Actually, I'm glad you're here.
If you ever are charged by a moose, the best thing to do is find a tree and hide behind the tree so that if the moose goes one way, you go the other. So
they won't look for you?
Play, I guess.
That's like out of a cartoon. Yeah. Is this real advice?
I know Alex? I have to try that, but
I don't want to be the first to try it. I'm like, oh, Alex said that, and then I'm fucking hiding behind a tree, and then I don't know about that. All right. So you guys heard it first. Hide behind a tree.
Yeah. Another year a volcano erupted nearby. So there was like ash falling all over the city.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
But it was a good experience.
So did you ski for all 4 years there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then did you ski after?
I didn't. As my very last race, I said that I needed a long break from skiing. And I wasn't quite at the point where I was going to burn my equipment, but it was near there. So I haven't skied since. It's been a while. 10 years.
It happens.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I was just tired.
Burned out. Yeah. I've been doing it forever. So then there's law school in there somewhere, and where did CrossFit fit in? What happened next?
So immediately after I completed my degree in Alaska, I went home to Calgary, and my cousin wanted me to enter into a Spartan race, which is like it was just a 5K trail run with obstacles. Yeah. And I, after doing a little bit of research, I realized I needed to learn how to climb a rope. And I guess on the internet, I found CrossFit climbs ropes.
Interesting.
So I went to a CrossFit gym, and I swear, like the first class, that it was like the most, it was perfect for me. The fact that there was a competitive aspect combined with just the like physicality of working out, which I've always enjoyed doing. And then again, yeah, they told me like, yeah, there's competitions and stuff you can enter into. So that was basically the beginning of CrossFit. I ended up doing well in the Spartan race too.
Good. But I think you're one of the only people that I've ever heard of that researched the Spartan race before and was like, I better go find ropes to climb. Yeah. Like this really speaks to your nature of competition and preparation. So that's in you.
Yeah.
Researching the.
Definitely.
I love it. So you started CrossFit and then what?
I took a year off after university from like work and school. I had some family deaths the previous year and I just needed like a break from stress. So I took a year off, which allowed me to do a lot of CrossFit and then kind of get back with my friends in Calgary, with my family, try to kind of, I guess you could say, take some time to grieve and things like that. And then I started law school the following September, and it was hard. It was really stressful, but I've always been good at managing my time just because of my background in sports and things. And so I was definitely like more than able to manage CrossFit. Like I was only doing it once a day, kind of doing class workout.
Okay.
And I had been to regionals on a team before I went to law school that year. So I kind of had a taste of what it was like and wanted to do individual. And then I did individual in 2014. I had zero strength. So I was very skinny and just too lean. And I think at that year they had a max hang snatch. And I had snatched 125, which was significantly lower than all the other girls.
Yeah.
Somehow I still placed third, which was at that point they were only taking two from our region. So I
missed out,
which was fine because I was actually happy I didn't qualify because I was not at the level of CrossFit Games at that point.
Yeah.
And then I hired a coach, which helped me dial in some of my weaknesses and get stronger, get better at certain skills. And then 2015, I just squeaked in to making it to the CrossFit Games, had an amazing experience there. In 2016, I was short of qualifying at regionals. I qualified for regionals and then missed the CrossFit Games. And then I graduated from law school. And instead of starting work, which is basically 1 year of like really really demanding year of kind of learning and just it's a lot of time and stress. And I decided to push that a year out and train again, like full time CrossFit, trying to get back to the games in 2017. Mm-hmm. I didn't qualify, which was fine. I don't do CrossFit to qualify the games. It was just an opportunity to kind of take another year to do what I love.
Yeah.
And then this year,
but you got to be on the demo team.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
That was such a great experience.
Yeah. Let's not forget these things. Come on.
Yeah. And then this year I was articling, which was horrible.
Okay. But you said you're not practicing corporate law after.
No, the year was so bad that I'm very turned off with that lifestyle.
Hey, live and learn. Live and learn.
It also did not provide for a balanced lifestyle. I managed to get my workouts in. They were a bit more limited than in previous years, but required me, like I'm up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, some mornings, and then I was training late at night. And then just the extra stress of the job was just too difficult to manage.
This is
strained. It was a strain on our relationship.
That's so much. I mean, you guys out there listening to this, this is why I brought them on, to give you the real deal behind the scene. Like, it's not just all, you know, roses and butterflies, and there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it, and there's a lot of commitment. I mean, you've heard from both of their backstories from the beginning, not just once CrossFit started, but like their whole lives. They've made, had to make decisions of, you know, am I going to pursue collegiate sports or am I going to be looking more into engineering? Am I going to be taking time to just do CrossFit or can I balance this with work? Do I do golf? Do I do alpine skiing? Both seem crazy to me, but decisions being made from the get-go and this mindset that goes into, you know, ultimately becoming an athlete at this level. Alex, I want to tease out a little bit more about that because you said you hired a coach and in the email you wrote, you said that you think that was one of the things that actually helped to get you to the games. Can you speak on, you know, that experience or why you think it was so helpful to have a coach and do you have a coach now?
Yeah, I have the same coach I hired in 2014. So we've been together for 4 years now. And immediately, like the first day that I had known, I knew who he was, just because he's from the same city as me. Mm-hmm. And he was a regionals competitor with me in 2014, I think still. So I knew him well enough. And I had heard one of my buddies from law school had hired him as a coach too. So I didn't actually look anywhere else for a coach. I just hired him mm-hmm. straight up.
Work smarter, not harder. I like it.
And he showed a lot of interest in me right from the get-go and saw a lot of potential in me. Basically just knew I needed to increase my power output. Could see that I was fit. Mm-hmm. He wanted to increase my power output, get me stronger, kind of develop my Olympic lifting skills to kind of match the increase in strength that he was mm-hmm. hoping for. And then just increase training volume at that point was kind of important and in the right way.
Volume. Mm-hmm. That's the...
So a lot of the stuff that changed, like there was a lot more strength, mm-hmm. a lot more accessory work, a lot of core work, and then just a lot of power output.
How long are these sessions or like, you know, how much is it you're doing multiple sessions, split up during the day? How does that look like?
I think it was up until 2016. On the weekends, I would do 2 sessions and then on the weekdays, I would do 1. And they usually and still are about 90 minutes long.
Oh, get in, get out. Fast. I like it.
Yeah.
Meredith, what about you? What is your training? 2 questions for you, tying into what we were just talking about. 1, what do you think has changed that has helped get you to the games? You know, Alex was crediting, you know, hiring a coach. Was there something that changed that turned for you? And what does training look like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I actually hired Alex as coach.
Ah, answer done. Got it.
You know, that was a big change for me this year. And probably a lot of the reason I made it, like, I won't say like qualified for the games, but mm-hmm. but the reason that I made it to the games and in one piece, we'll say that. Like historically, so my background, with working out and coaching and whatnot, like I would never take away the amount of effort that anyone's put into me from a coaching standpoint. Like I worked with a couple of people back in North Carolina, specifically one. And that was kind of where my foundation was built. But, you can ask Alex, like she kind of saw the training I used to do and like, I wouldn't even say that it was training. I was doing workouts. Mm-hmm. And like with our coach now we train and we'll have these like tester workouts, which are kind of higher intensity, more, similar to an open or a regionals workout. And we don't have those very often. We'll have them maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. That was the bulk of my training before,
gotcha.
Before I hired Mike last year. And I kind of didn't realize what it was doing to me, but I was doing so many reps and I was doing so much volume of that kind of training mm-hmm. that I was just constantly hurt.
Yeah.
And so our coach, you know, his thing with me this year was like, if we can keep you from being injured and if we can work around the injuries that you've had in the past and like keep that from happening, I think you have a really good chance of qualifying for the games. And so that was the goal and the change this year was I wasn't just working out. I was training.
Training. Yeah. Yeah. People that think that really dig into those words, that's all you got to say. I was no longer just working out. I was training. You have goals. You have set things that you're going after. So do you guys, although I guess Alex's schedule is all crazy, like, do you work out together? Do you train together?
We train together on the weekends, but it's rarely the same workout. Like Meredith mentioned, if we're doing a tester, mm-hmm. Mike will sometimes program the same one on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Because if we go against each other and do the same training every single day, we would just run each other straight into the ground, I think.
Yeah. It was really, really cool to see you guys address that side of things from a social media perspective during the games, or excuse me, during regionals and then during the games, and just how that balances out. And actually, when I put the post up yesterday that I was going to be bringing you guys on the show, that was one of the questions asked, was how do you balance having a relationship and also training and seeing each other all the time? Meredith, you want to field that?
Well, that's an ongoing, I'm not going to call it an issue. That's an ongoing challenge. It's not like we have figured out how to resolve that and like, okay, this is how we get through it. And everything's fine and dandy now. Like, I think part of what makes our story so unique is like, there's just not a couple out there. There's not a couple that exists, I think, at least not in CrossFit, that deals with this issue at this level. Mm-hmm. And so...
It's super unique.
Like being like part of being really good at the sport is like you have to be like competitive as fuck. Like, yes. Sorry for the language, but
no, say it.
You have it's to want legit people so badly that like you'll blow your heart up to do it sometimes. And when that person is also the person that you go to bed with at the end of the day, like there's just some feelings that crop up from time to time. Not just like, I mean, sometimes on the daily, like when we're, you know, when you're working out, like you just like hate getting beat by that person. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care if our friend Jordan beats me, but when Alex beats me, like I want to put my head through the wall. And then add on top of that, like being so competitive at regionals that like we're literally vying for the same qualifying spot.
Yeah.
When one person gets an opportunity that you want, you know, there's like, you're obviously happy, like super happy for that person. Like they're getting to do what they love. But at the same time, like there's a lot of jealousy because it's something that like, it's not the reason why you do the sport, but you work towards that goal. You know, when you come up a little bit short, it stings.
For sure.
Like other opportunities that exist outside of the competitive aspect. Like when someone gets invited to a different competition or gets an opportunity, mm-hmm. they like the demo team last year. Like it's just, it's little things that like continue to pop up and you're like, oh man, like when are these feelings going to go away? Probably when we stop doing CrossFit.
Yeah. I was like, when you're not competing at CrossFit, I guess. Yeah. Wow. Alex, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of known in our relationship that I struggle a little bit more with it. I think having Meredith move here and being such a strong athlete was, threatening to me at first.
Mm-hmm.
We had the same coach for like our programming, and then we also have the same nutrition coach, and we're very similar athletes. She has a little bit different strengths, and then I have some different strengths, but for the most part we can be very close,
mm-hmm.
almost all workouts, and as evidenced by this year, she's a little bit better than me, which makes it harder.
You guys are fucking studs, man. Like the fact that you can maintain a relationship, maintain this level of competition, maintain these jobs, maintain these lives, and also just like be real about your feelings. And you both have a social media presence. There's no denying it. Like people want to know what's going on. People are watching, and you handle that so well. Like I was super pumped to bring you on for all of these reasons. I'm like, this is too really great humans here, and you know, I am nowhere near your level of athleticism and movement, but from a competition background, like, yeah, I mean, I get it. I played sports, and soccer was my sport. I played through college. Like, I get it. When to think about, try to try and put myself in that position and be like, damn, you're competing against this person, but like you said, that you're all the person is also the person that you go to sleep next to at night. Like, it's mind fuck, man. Like, you guys are, for your rock stars. Like, I thank you for sharing everything you share, just, you know, right now, and also with social media, because I know that the world was wondering. I was like, this is, and like, you know, Meredith, you said it, like, I don't know of another couple anywhere that has this dynamic and has to, you know, these challenges to face. So yeah. Thank you for leading the way with that. I don't think I'm going to do that ever, but thank you for leading the charge there.
Yeah.
I just need to add something to what we were just talking about.
Speak,
it's
Alex.
It's important. Meredith always reminds me, probably more so than I have to remind her, that the relationship is a long-term thing, and these issues with like competitiveness or these competitions or jealousy, like it's very short-term. And I think I also need to be reminded that if not for Meredith, there would be other issues in the relationship, such as some resentment towards CrossFit if your loved one doesn't do CrossFit and you're coming home from work at 7 and want to work out. Like,
you're right.
Meredith is okay with me doing that. She's okay with me getting up at 5:30 in the morning and being tired all day and being grumpy because she knows how important CrossFit is to me because she feels the same way. So
yeah,
all that stuff is.
Dude, that's a fantastic point.
Yes, look at this. I want to add that.
Engineer being so smart over there. Look at that. Ah, that's fantastic points. Like, you guys are good. You're studs. Yeah. I love it. So can we talk a little bit about the games, you guys? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I know I find that to be pretty freaking dope. I'm not 100% sure of who in my audience knows, you know, fully what the games are, CrossFit games. If you don't know, go look it up right now. I actually brought Nick Flannery on early on when I first started the podcast. He says hello and also says, how is his shoulder stability? He told me to ask you that. I love that guy. He's like absolutely my heart. I had the good fortune of working on him with him at regionals, I don't know, a few years ago, and he's just been neurotic and loving ever since. He's such a great guy. But yeah, I brought him on and we got to talk about regionals in the games from his perspective early on, but I would love to hear you guys talk about that. Alex, 2015, you went team?
I was individual.
Individual.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. What was that experience like? Hey guys, Maestro here, and I wanted to personally invite you to Rockstock 2018, the movement experience of the year. Join us in sunny Miami Beach, Florida on October 27th and 28th for movement, laughter, dancing, music, fun, and yes, you will get CEUs. The lineup is absolute fire, including yours truly and your girl, Dr. Court Conley. So, head on over to rocktape.com, use the code MAESTROCASTERS18, and save yourself $100. Yeah, I said $100. I'll see you there. 2015, you went team?
I was individual.
Individual.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. What was that experience like?
Of all the athletic experiences that I've had, that was by far the best one. There was just, I wasn't there to come top 10 or come top 5. It was basically, I was kind of there as an outside athlete. Like, no one really knew who I was. And I still had a lot of weaknesses in my game. And I knew that. And I was nervous about that. But going into it, I just had the attitude that I was going to soak up every moment and perform to the best of my capabilities. And there were some like sad moments when I, you know, there was a moment where, or a workout where I couldn't flip what was called the pig, which was a giant rectangular block that was very heavy. And I was upset after that, but there were a ton of great moments. And like, it's just an experience I'll never forget.
I love that you said that you went into it, because clearly you are a hugely competitive, highly competitive athlete. You did studying and researching for a 5K Spartan. Like, that in of itself says you are, this chick comes to play. But that's always the question that I have, is that for athletes that know that they are not going to win the games, what is the drive for that? How does that feel going into the games? And I love that you touched on that. It was like, I'm going there to learn. I'm going there to soak it up. I'm going there for this experience. That's awesome. What was the highlight? Do you have a highlight?
Just to go back for a sec, there aren't very many moments where I'm competing to win. Like I always go in with the attitude that I'm just going to do the absolute best that I can. And if I'm going against Meredith and she's beside me, like the best that I can might be a little bit better than if I were alone. Like it just, cause that's okay. Just natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even regionals, like even where I have, you know, goals of coming top five, it doesn't change how I'm going to perform in a workout and what my thoughts are in a workout. You know, in the back of my head, if there's a potential to win a workout just based on my strengths on paper, mm-hmm. you know, there might be the goal in the back of my head to win it, but it's not going to change my effort. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think there may be a little bit less pressure if you're going in and you're not a favorite, but generally I think I have that attitude.
Yeah, that's a huge mindset thing. That's huge. And you had spoken, both of you had spoken about that actually earlier on. Are you familiar with, what is her name? Carol Dweck, I think her name is, and talking about fixed versus growth mindsets. Mm-hmm. And it's actually phenomenal to hear you say this because, you know, as an athlete, you kind of live in a zero-sum game all the time, a zero-sum world where it's like this person wins and the other person doesn't win. Like it's still fun for everyone and things like that, but like if you're going, like there is a winner. This person came in first, this person came in second, or like it's a, you know, soccer game, that team won, the other team didn't win. So it's a zero-sum thing. But to have that mentality or have that be in that world, but then have what you're explaining as a growth mindset where you're going in and understanding that the failure, you know, quote unquote failure, is not finite or absolute, and that every opportunity is just an opportunity to bring your best self, do your best, and grow from it. That's a very interesting juxtapositioning, if you will, of those two things, and that speaks to, I mean, speaks to you as a very complex athlete, actually. Meredith, you say, I think you were saying in the background there, you've heard of this. You have thoughts on that?
Actually, I was sort of going off on a mental tangent while you were talking there. But I was thinking, I used to do a lot of, so I was thinking back to like the, like 2016, 2017 season when like, you know, I had these goals of qualifying for the games and I didn't. You know, I had a lot of people in my life, then, and like, just from a coaching standpoint, they were preaching like visualization. Like, I don't know if you, mm-hmm. like you've heard like visualize success.
Yeah.
Like visualize what it's going to feel like to win a workout, visualize yourself on a podium. And like, you know, I think there's, you know, maybe a time and a place for visualization. Like, you know, if you're a downhill skier, for example, visualize the course, like what's it feel like to take the turns, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Visualizing yourself winning a CrossFit workout and like winning regionals, that didn't really work for me because I think mm-hmm. it made me become very fixed on an outcome. And so when I'm in a workout that I in my head should be winning and I'm not winning, in fact, I'm like, and what I'm doing doesn't feel a thing like what I've done in training. Like I had issues adjusting to that. And I think that was a big issue for me specifically with the 2016, 2017 season. And I didn't realize like it was just solely because I was fixed on one particular outcome and I didn't know how to adjust when that outcome, when I realized I was not going to have that outcome.
And so how did you get through that?
I didn't do a very good job. I got a new coach who said, okay, let's not focus on outcomes. Let's focus on, like, don't have expectations of outcome. Have expectations of what kind of effort you're going to bring to the table. And like, whatever the outcome, that's what it's going to be. If your best is, you know, sixth place at regionals and you don't go to the games, that's okay. Like,
yeah.
Your best, did you execute the plan the best that you could? If your answer is yes, you have nothing to be disappointed with.
That is profound. Have expectations of effort, not outcome.
Yeah.
Huge. Huge. And it seems like that has served you well.
Yeah. That was a big change for me this year.
Mindset. Mm-hmm. So much. Alex,
yeah,
I didn't forget about you. Did you have a favorite moment from 2015?
I did. I think there was a moment in the first event. It was a swim, paddle, swim. That's what the event was called. It was a 1 mile paddle and then a 500 meter swim. Or no, sorry. It was a swim first, 500 meter swim around the pier.
You were out in Redondo here.
Yeah.
Or Hermosa, because it was still over here. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then you grab a board and you swim, you paddle out a mile and then you paddle back a mile and then you swim another 500 meters. And there was a moment I was on the paddle board and I was beside Emily Bridgers, Annie Thor's daughter, and Lindsay Valenzuela. And I remember thinking, wow, like these are girls that I was reviewing their videos of to learn muscle ups only a couple years ago, and to be beside them in a CrossFit Games event was like, it was hard to believe myself.
Wow.
Anyways,
that chills. That's awesome.
That was just a really great moment. I was just, I remember thinking that exact thing when I was beside them.
Yeah, that is a moment. That's special. I'm thinking sitting here, I'm like, wow. And I mean, anyone who follows CrossFit in any capacity can appreciate that's what you just shared.
My second favorite moment also occurred in that event, and that was I had a bathing suit that was a size too big because I didn't have enough of the size smalls. And coming out of the water after the last swim, I was so glad that my bathing suit was still on.
Yes. This is like before CrossFit gave everyone like a million fucking.
They had pieces
of gear. What happened? Like
they gave us a bikini for a Reebok one, but I was like one of the last people to do my check-in, and they didn't have the size that I guess everybody else wanted.
Dang! So they were like, "Here, your last take. This is too big.
This is a size large. Good luck."
Dang! What?
It was
strongly worded letter. Strongly worded letter. Wow.
Yeah.
Meredith, let's flip it. What about you this year? Favorite moment?
Favorite moment. Well,
how'd it feel?
Aside from finding out that I was going to the games,
happened
in a very unique way. Probably that marathon row when they had all the competitors on the floor. Like there's 80 rowers on the Coliseum floor, which is just like an obscene number of rowers to have in one place. And then just kind of realizing like, hey, I'm like standing here on the floor as I'm the 0.001% and we're all about to get our ass kicked by this marathon row.
You're there.
That was a pretty cool moment. Just, it was such a spectacle. I was just like, I don't know that you'll ever see something like that again at the games. I mean, you probably will see something that's equally difficult, but just visually, like,
yes, very everyone
thing to see, like everybody's name mats are out. Like it's just, it was
every single one. How did that event feel? How was that?
Well, I had, so I kind of knew what to expect going into it because Alex was kind enough to do the marathon row the day before. So I knew going into it, I knew a couple of things. I knew that at around 15,000 meters to go, it was going to get really rough.
Around what? I'm sorry, it cut out. Around what? How far?
Around 15,000 meters to go.
Okay.
I remember, so Alex did it on that Tuesday and we got, I came back from wherever, whatever we were doing, like testing the obstacle course or something. And I knew she was doing it. So I walked down and she was at, maybe about halfway through it. And she was like, oh, this is fine. Nothing to worry about. And I'm like, okay. And I saw her pace and I was like, all right. And I come back, I like went and take a shower, come back. And there's like maybe 12,000 meters left. And she just looks up and she was like, I am not okay. I kind of expected there to be a wall at some point. Yeah, I knew like just based on the day following, I knew like she was like, is no matter how bad it gets and how much damage you feel like you're doing to your body, you're going to be okay. Like, it's not that bad. Like, it's really painful right when you get off the rower. I couldn't even get off the rower. I finished. And like, I've never wanted to get off of a piece of equipment more. And I couldn't even stand up. Like, I couldn't get my legs to like support my body weight.
No, absolutely not. How did you feel recovery wise? Like, the next day and just the remaining days from that?
I think the whole weekend was like, you know, you were recovering from the row. You can't recover from a marathon row in one day.
Exactly. I was like, physiologically, this shit is going to drain you. You cannot replenish energy stores that quickly.
So, like, that night I had, I ordered two burgers and fries and ate that. So I probably ate close to, I would say, like, maybe just shy of 2,000 calories before going to bed. So that helped. And then the next day, your butt's really sore from the seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
My knee's a little bit sore, but, like, you know, the good thing is with rowing, there's no like eccentric movement, which is what makes you really sore.
Yeah.
Other than just being kind of, you know, banged up from the repetition of hinging, I felt kind of okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Marathon row. Alex, you are amazing that you did that. Crazy also sounding like, but
mad at me because she told me like texted me that she was going to do it. And then I told like a few people and then later she was like, make sure you don't tell anyone that I'm doing that. I'm like, oh, well, I already told a couple of people. She was mad. Oh. She's like, well, I have to do it now.
Now you have to do it. Exactly. You're like, oh shit. Well, now I have to. Dude, how's the obstacle course? That thing looks super fun.
Oh, so fun. Probably like that was one of my favorite events just cause it's like a big playground. Alex is shaking her head because they, as like the demo team last year ran through that thing. How many times did you do it last year?
I probably did at least 20 to 25 times.
She does not like the obstacle course as much as I do.
And it was like shit weather last year. I went to the games last year and I was like, this sucks. I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
So cold and raining. I'm like, let's move it back to California. This is kind of terrible for me.
Yeah, it was much better this year.
Yeah, I saw. I was like, all right, well, at least they got some sun. We're almost hitting an hour, and I kind of like to like keep it around there, but I do have like a few more things I want to ask because this is really freaking cool to be able to talk to you guys as athletes. Alex, I'm giving this one to you, and then Meredith, you can answer afterwards. One, and you said it earlier, but if you could just repeat, that'd be great. What does a typical day of training look like for you, and what does it take to be a games level athlete?
For me, I get up. On a weekday, I get up pretty early. I'm trying to try to be at the gym around 6:30, or depending on how long my workout is and how early I have to be at work. But I'll train from like 6:30 to 8. It was a little bit earlier in the year when I was just starting work. So it was like a 90-minute session, and my coach made those sessions to be like less than an hour and a half. Because he knew that I was at work. And then I would train after. I have a bunch of ergs at home. Like I have a ski erg my parents bought for me for my birthday. I have an assault bike and a rower. And then we recently added to the collection a bike erg. So my coach on the weekdays would program a workout at home, which I could do after work. And there were days where I would get home from work at like 8 and have to do like an hour long on the ergs, which was difficult, but I just like actually love working out so much that it wasn't that hard to kind of get motivated to do it, especially after sitting at work for however long I was there.
Yeah.
And then the weekends I would do 90 minutes to 2 hours in the morning and then an hour at night at a gym again. So it would be more of a traditional like double session that you would see a CrossFit Games athlete do.
Do rest days exist? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
or that's
I rest
like
on
unicorns?
Monday and Thursday, but typically I'll go for an easy run in the morning because I don't like, especially with work, I'm just not very active during
the day. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So I'll do something very, very low effort in the morning.
And what about for recovery? What do you do?
I'm pretty lucky. I don't have too many aches and pains or nagging injuries. So I honestly, I don't really have to do much in terms of like physio or mobility.
Awesome.
I think
it's awesome.
Just trying to move well.
Yes. Say it again, Alex.
Trying to move well in every single movement and to move through all ranges of motion in the right way during training helps a lot for longevity in the sport. And I've seen that firsthand.
God bless you. Say it. Thank you.
It's time in the long run and money.
Thank you.
Well, we might put those physios out of their jobs, but.
Yeah, good luck with that. People always moving like shit and still is like, ah, I'm going to warm up for 7 years and then move like shit during the workout. And then I'm going to roll afterwards and then I'm going to go pray and then go see Cairo and I'll be okay. You're like, all right, cool.
See, Alex doesn't warm up at all, but just moves so well that she doesn't have to.
Yo, man, if you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
Like, if you got it, you got it. That is... And Alex, what do you think it takes? I mean, I know it's a huge question. You can paraphrase it, answer it however you want, but... You know, if you had to say, this is what I think it takes to be a games lifter, to be an athlete of this caliber, what would you say to that?
I think I've seen it with me and in other sports and with other people in this sport. But if you don't have a genuine love and you don't genuinely enjoy doing it, whether it's the training, the recovery, all the stuff that comes with it, which is nutrition, sleep. If you don't love and if you don't love the people that you're doing it with or trust the people who are guiding you to be your best, you're not going to get there. If you're trying to force it, I just don't see it happening. And if it does happen, it's not going to last. Same thing happened with me for skiing. As soon as I lost like that genuine love and it kind of ended up being a bit more of a job and I started feeling that I was being pushed by other people to do it, I think that's when you lose it. So, I mean, it definitely, you need the potential as an athlete to get there. There's no question.
For sure. For sure.
And it does take discipline and some sacrifice. But to me, like, and Meredith and I have talked about this, it's not a sacrifice for us to go to bed early. It's just something that we do because it's a choice. It's not a sacrifice.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And
it's moving you towards your goal. Makes sense.
The goal, or you don't enjoy what you're going to be doing the next day, that requires you to go to bed early, then maybe it is a sacrifice. And in that case, I don't know if you're going to make it.
Yeah, I love it. I brought you guys on for a reason, but what you just said there is exactly why. And I talk about things in terms of movement and movement professionals, but what you're saying applies to everything and anything in life where there are, when you're trying to follow something that you achieve something, there's going to be sacrifices. There is definitely an inherent level of skill that is needed for these things. But so much of it is, are you passionate about it? Do you really want it? And if you really want it, you're going to do the things that some people will think are crazy in order to achieve that. And that's what this show is about. Alex, thank you for that. That was like, dang, that was so good. Meredith, your answer better be better. Okay. You're up. Same question, Meredith.
What does it take to be a games athlete?
Yeah, what do you think it takes to be a games athlete?
I mean, I like, we've talked about this so much. I definitely, like, I agree with everything that Alex said. You have to be dedicated to the process. And, like, you have to enjoy the training, but you also have to, you have to understand that, like, working out is fun. Like doing regionals events are like, that's fun. Training is not always going to feel fun. Yes. Not very many athletes get the luxury of just like doing what they're good at all the time and that being enough. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like you're going to have to do some things that you really don't enjoy. Like you're going to have to spend an hour on nothing but ergs. Or if you're an endurance athlete, you're going to have to dedicate time to strength training, which like, may be sucks. The worst thing in the world for you, and you might hate it, but like you like hate it, but you don't because you realize that you're like it's moving you towards your goal, and it's
mm-hmm. there is an enjoyment in it, and for me and for Meredith, I'll speak on her behalf, it's enjoyment of a challenge.
Yeah,
and so
it's true,
still a fun aspect, an enjoyment aspect to it.
Yeah,
for me at least.
I think like you do have to have some natural ability. I don't think that there's anybody competing at the games who's like, oh, I've never exercised before in my life. and I just got here. Like, no, that's not like, they usually have an aptitude for sport and that they, you know, there's some athletic background, there's some training age and training history that's led them there. And then on top of that, like, you know, they're dedicated to the sport and what the sport has become and where the sport is going. And you see the long standing athletes that just continue to evolve with it. Like I always think about like Ben Smith or Rebecca Voigt, like these people who they were, you know, at the ranch and
crazy.
They're doing 53-pound kettlebell swings like they're the hardest thing in the world, and like, you know, the sport
crazy
to rise and the athletes continue to rise up, like, which is just cool to see that continue to happen. And it's just, it's going to continue to get more and more competitive, that's for sure. But if you're like, if you're an athlete and you're under the impression that you can just like, oh, I want to go to the games, and like, but you're not willing to put in the effort or actually train, like, it's just, that's not going to happen.
That is, you guys together, these answers are fucking phenomenal. Like, you put in the work, it's not always fun stuff. And the stuff that we don't like doing is usually the stuff we need to do more of and get better at. And that's part of the process. And it's amazing that the mindset that you guys bring to it, where it's like, you know, and Alex was saying that you can still find some sort of enjoyment in it because there is a challenge there. And you also know that at the end of the day, it is moving you towards your goal. There's a reason that you're doing this. Like, this is the stuff that I knew you would say, but I was crossing my fingers that you'd say it, and you did. Like, this is huge. Yeah. Before I let you guys go, because I can't let you go that easily, Alex, what are your plans moving forward? You're not doing corporate law. What does like the next year look like for you?
We're gonna do a little bit of traveling here this fall.
In Canada?
We're gonna go to Vegas as a celebration at the end of September, and then we're gonna head to Colorado for part of an M2 kind of retreat, and then might do some other travel around the U.S. Go visit Meredith's family and Thanksgiving, but in all that, I'm hoping to get going on some nutrition certifications, get a little bit more knowledge, accumulate some more clients with M2, and then figure out. I'm very interested in sports management or athlete management with my law degree. That it kind of lends itself to that. Plus, with my experience in sports, I'll be exploring those avenues and try to make some contacts, things like that. I'm not opposed to a career in law; it just has to be with the right company.
Yes,
so it'll just be a little bit of kind of figuring out where I fit and what's going to work with my lifestyle. And it will allow me to do a lot of training in that time.
Okay, that was my next question. I'm like, where's training? Is training coming first or is training coming?
Training always comes first.
I love it.
Well,
perfect answer.
Yeah.
Meredith, well,
comes first, but.
Yeah, we'll call it a tie.
That's amazing. Well, kind of. Meredith, what's the next year look like for you?
so funny.
That's great.
That's
so good.
So, like I've said to Alex a bunch of times this year, Alex comes first.
Alex, write that down. Put it on the whiteboard.
Yeah, it goes on the whiteboard. No. In all seriousness. So this year I just completed my permanent residency application for Canada, which,
That's right.
Yes, I know, like it, cause like I had a 1-year visa and wasn't really sure what was going to happen when that ran out. And like, it would be super duper sad if I had to go back to the US and couldn't take Alex, just be a thing. So I spent an asinine amount of money to get my permanent card or hope.
All right.
So it looks like we'll be in Canada for at least the next little bit, although we're exploring other options. I'm kind of just going to keep doing what I'm doing, which is working with M2, like building my client base is pretty good. I like where I'm at. So it's just like, it's all relationship building and trying to help the company grow and just allow more people to learn about that and nutrition and what we do. And then, you know, training feels a little bit different for me right now. Like this time last year, I was kind of in full, you know, full training mode. I was in really good shape. And like right now I'm just kind of like in recovery mode. I train one day and it's not very hard, but it feels very hard. So just kind of taking some time to regroup and find some motivation to get back into a little higher volume training, which I'm sure I will. It's just, it all hurts right now. I'm very tired.
Got it. What about for you? I'm gonna interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
Alex is superhuman. Apparently, she's like part X-Man.
Yeah.
For you and recovery and injuries.
Oh yeah.
What do you do?
So
because I know you battled some shit. So
yeah, I'll make two analogies here. So the first one is: have you ever seen a movie called Unbreakable? I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
It's got
yes.
Bruce Willis and Samuel.
Bruce Willis. Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Bruce and Mr. Glass. I'm Mr. Glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So like Bruce Willis is on like you can't injure him like broken bones. And then there's Mr. Glass, who's like, is kind of like basically on the verge of death all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Alex. It's I don't need to say Alex is Willis in that movie. And then hold on one sec. There we go.
That's all good.
I'm Mr. Glass. So I'm like sort of. I don't know if I'm like if I'm just built wrong or I'm just very very unlucky, but I seem to always be kind of. Battling injuries, like some of which are athletic related and some are just like I seem to be somewhat accident prone.
Shit happens.
The other analogy, like this season for me, okay, another movie analogy. Have you seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Duh.
Okay, well, Alex, so she won't get this. But you know what?
Canadia!
Like, so my season, like if you, like, so Nicolas Cage is stealing all the cars mm-hmm. and then at the very end he's got to steal the Shelby GT500.
Yep.
And so, like, there's the car scene or the chase scene, right? And so, like, he has a car. It's pristine. And, like, you know, he's being chased and, like, shit's falling off. Like, the mirror's falling
yes.
off. The front bumper uh-huh. falls off. But, like, he gets the car
but he
gets to the impound lot. Like, that was my
busted.
CrossFit game season. Like, I got there, but, like, I was missing my rearview mirror. Like, lost my bumper. The muffler came off somewhere along the way.
But, like, I love it.
Ultimately, it's still a, you know, it's still a Shelby GT500. So we're all good.
That's like I'd take a perfect car. Analogy.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, that's my analogy of kind of how this year was. But as far as like,
but you have a plan for next year though. So that's good. You said
yeah.
you got people there helping you and
yeah.
some stuff
actually,
in place.
Yeah,
so.
Our therapist here, I work with a company that's local called Dynamic YYC. They're amazing. They're chiropractors,
yeah.
but they, you know, they're very in tune with movement, very into movement. They don't just pop your back and pat you on the head and tell you to leave. So they do a lot of rehab and prehab. And actually, I think,
yeah, they're good guys. Well, I met them at the games this year.
Yeah, this year?
No, last year.
Something.
Regionals.
It was regionals because they posted on their Instagram. And I was like, oh, I know her.
Yeah. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
So they've helped me out a lot this year. I see a local PT for some dry needling. Like, I kind of stay on top of things definitely more than Alex does. But. Like she said, she doesn't really need it, and I do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's a good lesson for people out there listening. Like, sometimes different bodies. It's not like, oh, if you need stuff, that means you're a shitty athlete and a shitty mover. Like,
yeah.
some people, this is how they recover, and some people, this is, you know, sometimes you're Mr. Glass, and sometimes you're Bruce Willis. It is what it's like. That's a perfect analogy. That perfect analogy.
Yeah,
and the main thing is that if you do need that kind of assistance, go and get it, and then keep on with your life.
And get it like sooner than like. Don't wait for the wheels to fall off. Like,
yes,
go yes. get it before you think you need it.
One more time for the folks in the back.
Go get it before you think you need it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
People, they come in and they're like, "My leg fell off last week, but I still think I could do this."
Yeah.
So what do you think? And you're like, "What?
What? Like, well, I don't think so. Your kneecap is on the wrong side of your leg."
No, like no, but I can use tape, so it's fine, right? And you're like.
You can just
Wait,
rock tape that, right?
Exactly. Rock tape and we're fine and I'll say a prayer and then you'll be so good.
Use the thick stuff. Yeah.
It just blows my mind. You guys are awesome. Awesome. If these fine folks, and I'll start with you, Meredith, because you were just talking. If these fine folks want to reach out to you, if they want to follow you,
yeah.
if they want to contact you, how can they do that?
So the easiest way is Instagram. You can follow me. You can DM me.
Follow her stories. They're fucking hilarious.
Well, I try to be entertaining. I feel like I'm streaky with Instagram. Like I'll be really good. And then I'm like, I hit a dry spell and I'm like, God.
It's worth it. It's worth the wait. Because then something great comes and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They have on cowboy boots. What's happening?
Yeah. So Instagram is definitely the easiest way to get a hold of me.
And what is that handle?
That handle is Meredith_Root.
Done. You guys out there heard that? I will put it all in the show notes. Meredith_Root. Alex, if the folks want to laugh at some stuff, where can they find you?
My Instagram handle is AA Parker and then the number one.
Of course, she's number one.
It was number two, and then I'm like, wait, that's not right.
Why? Exactly. Like, wait. Got a little brain fart there, came back. Awesome. So we got Meredith underscore Root and AA Parker one, of course. There's no question there. Either of you have any last words you want to leave the listeners with? You could say no too. That's fine.
I'm trying to think of something. See, this is what happens when I try to think of something witty on the spot, like crickets.
I mean, all they really need to do, though, honestly, is go and follow you guys on Instagram. You guys listening, you will not regret it. The stories alone are so good. There's a running joke now. I forgot to bring it up. There's a running joke now. Alex, how did that even start? Just one day you were like, I'm going to write. There's a running joke. They have a whiteboard. It's on your refrigerator. Yes?
Yeah.
And Alex writes these notes to Meredith and then signs them. Or I guess Alex is not writing them, but they signs them with these crazy storylines and names. How did you even come up with this?
I don't know. I think I just saw, like, was like,
oh, it's so good.
I'll just write something up there because it was blank. For a while there, we had a rice to water ratio formula that we're trying to figure out how to weigh rice to be more accurate.
Yeah.
Like a mass balance.
So I was like, hey, this is empty. I'm going to write something up there. And I said, Dear Meredith. And then I just was like, I'm going to write something that just is so random that it's going to be like, she's just going to be dumbfounded.
Which I was.
So I did. It was like, the first one was something about, I took Timothy out to the back to roll down the hill. You'll find us there. Like, love, Alex. And then I always sign it with something weird.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you don't have any of these pets and sometimes don't have a hill or the things that are mentioned in
it can't
said message.
Sense. No, we don't have a garden because we live in a high-rise condo.
I laugh so much at these. They're so good. Yeah. That means you now have to keep doing them because people are going to listen and be like, but I want to see them.
It's like,
and it's worth it.
Every time one goes up, I just get like so many messages on Instagram and so many like DM requests.
Because they're so funny.
It's so great.
But that is what social media is for, laughs and following people that are enjoyable. So
yeah.
Thank you, both of you, not only for the laughter, the comic relief, but for coming on the show. This was awesome. This was, like I said, I wanted the episode to for people to hear the stuff that they don't think about, the stuff underneath the surface. People just see the end goal, the end result, rather, and they don't realize all that goes into it, all that's gone into it, years of working on things, sacrifice, dedication, the mindset work, changing things, new coaches, diet stuff, working on weaknesses, waking up early, careers, all that, balancing relationships, all this stuff. So thank you for sharing that, you guys. Really, really. I'm definitely going to have you guys on again because clearly we can talk. So I will bring you back on again, but I thank you, and I thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us.
It was awesome.
Yeah, no, this is super fun. Yeah. You guys out there listening to this, I thank you too. I know this was a little bit of a longer episode because we had twice the fun. So thank you for sticking around for the entire episode. If you liked it, I would love it if you do me a solid and give it a little rating. It does help people to find it. If you loved it, you know what to do. Subscribe. This way you never miss a single thing. Thank you guys endlessly, all of you guys out there, for listening. You could have listened to anything, you chose to listen to us. Until next time, my friends, Alex, Meredith, and Maestro,